Morning, everyone. Welcome to ANZ News. It's Thursday, the 7th of April. Today we're talking currency wars. Pretty apt, competition at work. In 1973, Nixon and Kissinger saved the dollar by reinstating the petrodollar with the Saudis. In return for military support from the US, the Saudi royal family agreed to only sell oil in dollars. In 1973, the Saudis were the largest energy producer and in the US, the biggest consumer. It made sense for the two to set the tone. However, in 2022, the picture is very different. Russian gas and oil holds the sway, and the Chinese are purchasing. As energy costs increase, so does inflation. Without Russian energy exports, large parts of Europe are descending into darkness. The EU spent almost $2 trillion on Russian oil and gas in 2021, and increased demand for the Russian fiat currency is all but guaranteed if they continue to demand payment in the ruble. The ruble has now regained almost all of its losses against the dollar since the announcement of the invasion of Ukraine, from 75 to 150 and now back to 83 ruble to the dollar. The ruble has been underwritten by the oil, gas and gold reserves of the country since coming under fire, and the effect has been clear. As the ruble has been appreciating against the dollar, the floor price of 5,000 rubles per gram of gold has been looking more like the current spot price of gold. When the ruble gold floor was announced, the equivalent cost per ounce was US $1,509. At time of writing, it's an equivalent of US $1,873, only $50 below that US denominated spot price. It is important to recognize that this is a floor price only and not a fully fledged gold standard, as the Russian central bank is only buying gold at that rate and not selling. On the 23rd of March, the Kremlin drew up a list of unfriendly countries. The majority of the EU member states were included, there's 27 of them, as well as Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom, United States, New Zealand, Japan, and South Korea. In the same way that the Americans built demand for their currency in the 70s for Saudi oil, the Russians are forcing the hands of unfriendly countries to buy up the Russian ruble. But how does this actually work? Given that the accounts of Russian energy exports have now been frozen, the Russians are demanding that importers open accounts at Russian banks and make payments for their energy. The sanctions on Russia have presumably triggered force majeure clauses in their contracts that the Russians are no longer willing to honour if they aren't paid for their oil and gas. Germany, for example, will need to buy rubles on foreign exchanges and then transfer them to banks approved by the Russian central bank to avoid being cut off. Doubtless, through this teething period, many Germans will suffer through cold showers with clenched fists and cursing Putin. The question is to how long each side can sustain the currency war. At present, the Russian government debt as a percentage of GDP is 20%. The US is now 98%. Russia has a flat tax rate of 13% on income, which resembles the US before 1916, when the top rate capped out at 15%. One major difference, however, is the dependence that Russians have on their energy exports, with 40% of their GDP derived or being driven from the ever-critical oil and gas. The war appears on the ground, but the heaviest hits are arguably made in the financial sphere. Either way, gold is the beneficiary, as the focus of market participants shifts to the question of what is money. Russia is seeking to establish the clout of currency on the back of resources. This is no different to the formation of the petrodollar. Ultimately, currencies are strengthened by commodities that people need to run the world. Game on, currency wars. In other words, China has been signing major agreements with major exporters, such as Nigeria, for their oil and other commodities. India has signed agreements with China, and late last year signed a number of blockbuster deals with Russia when Putin visited Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Iran has been locked out of SWIFT for years, and they're still trading. There is a growing block of countries with hard assets that have been accumulating gold for years. The question is, if they're all still accumulating, who are they accumulating from? And who are they likely to be? Well, likely to be like Australia and the RBA, happy to leave 99.9% of our physical gold reserves in the Bank of England. We're always reminded of this famous meme. This beautiful meme today is showing one half of the fence throwing money over it and the other half throwing gold. Which one would you rather hold at the moment? We've been talking in the news about inflation and real interest rates finally lighting fires under precious metals prices. We've seen nickel, copper, aluminium, tin, lead all make major moves while we wait for precious metals to join the party. We've had nearly 2 years of climbing inflation, even on official figures, and the same period has seen increasingly negative real rates. and descending more. You can see in the graphs we show you today that inflation has spiked to the upside, and as a result, real rates have diverged strongly. The last time we saw these kind of divergences were in the 70s and 80s. And we all know what happened in the 80s with interest rates. And that's news for today. Thanks for joining us. Jump over to anzbullion.com.au for all things physical, gold, silver and platinum. You can also view all of our charts and news articles. If you're after some crypto today, jump over to anzwealth.com.au. And if you haven't yet checked it out, check out goldsilverstandard.com for our own crypto, built by Ainsley, backed by real gold and silver. We'll catch you tomorrow for more news.